Lord, we thank you for this day that you have given to us. We thank you for this opportunity this morning once again to gather as your people and look to you and expect from you. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon our time together in this morning worship. We pray, Lord, that you will give us ears to hear, hearts to respond, that your Spirit would work among us. We thank you, Lord, for those here on these grounds at this time. We pray for the cottage and for the village, Lord, as they learn your word this morning, as they worship you. We pray that you'll come to them and that you'll draw near to them, that you'll bless them, that you'll give them all, every boy and every little girl in the cottage, openness of heart and soul to the things of God this day. And all of us, Lord, may we be open to receive out of your fullness against our need. We thank you for it, and in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the white book, let us sing together number 43. In the white book, number 43.
Answer to all my questioning.
Anybody recognizes it, but maybe a third of the songs, at least a third of the songs that we sing, are prayers. And that's one of the reasons, not the only one, but one of the reasons why I like the hymns that we have, and especially in this book. And I guess also because I've memorized so many of them, singing them so many times, ever since I've been a little boy. But these prayers are good prayers to pray. And not only in meeting, but we can sing them out of meeting too. Did you ever find yourself singing a song and you found, oh, wait a minute, that's a prayer. I'm asking the Lord, I'm praying when I'm singing. And I think it's a good thing to recognize in any song, and I don't call attention and not going to every song that we sing, well, this is a song of prayer, this is a prayer. But you'll notice some of the songs even begin with, dear Lord, we're asking you, Lord, we're gathered for your blessing, we'll wait upon our God, Spirit now, melt and move, come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. These are all prayers that we pray. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross. Well, that's a prayer. And we're asking him. And while we pray the prayer and sing the song at the same time, well, we could then expect, Lord, you're going to answer this. We're asking you. You're hearing our prayer, our request, and you're going to do, Lord, what we are asking you to do. We have that faith, that confidence, that you not only hear, but you answer. And this morning, have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. You're the potter, and I'm the clay. Lord, you mold me and make me the way you want me to be. Every one of us can stand a little bit more molding, a little more shaping, a little bit more of the rough place that needs to be smoothed out or something. They're in all of us, those places in our lives. But thank God that he's the potter. We're in his hands. And as long as we're in his hands, he'll work on us. We are, Ephesians says, his workmanship. We're his workmanship. We're the hunk of clay that he picked up, and he starts to go to work on it. And he takes a long time. He takes a long time. Maybe sometimes you think longer time than what you got. Well, he's patient, and we're not. And he knows just how much we can take of the shaping and how much is needful and when it's best to have it done. He knows all that. So just stay in his hands and acquiesce to his will. And that was the problem that Jeremiah saw in that vision when he was taken to the potter's house. The problem was that the piece of clay, now this doesn't happen with a regular potter, but the analogy that Jesus or God was using was that piece of clay, you, Israel, you don't let me make you what I want to make you. Now, usually clay has to do what the potter wants it to do. You want to squeeze it, shape it, push it, pull it, spin it on the wheel. A piece of clay has nothing to say about it. But here we do, and Israel did. And the lament, God's lament, was that I want to do for you just like this potter is able to do with the lump of clay. The potter's making it the way that he wants to make it, fashioning it the way he wants to fashion it. But you don't let me do that with you, O house of Israel. I wish you would be able to do what this clay in the potter's hands is doing, just letting him have his way. And Israel had their own ideas and their own way and their own will. And for so many years, they got into so much trouble. And maybe for so many years, I get, or you get, into so much trouble. For the very same reason, because we don't let the potter mold us, shape us. And so let him have his way with you. This morning, and at the end of this prayer, we're praying, Lord, now that I've been emptied, and now that I've been shaped, and now that I'm meet for your use, come, Lord, now fill me. Fill this vessel. Fill this jar that you have created and made to contain your spirit and your glory. Let my temple be filled with the glory of God. Now, I wonder, if I really pray that prayer, does the Lord want to answer that? Is he really delighting to answer such a request? I am sure he is, not because of my assurance and certainty, but because of the word of God that assures us how much more he wants to give and do wonderful, good things for you and for me, his child, as we ask him. And so let's sing, starting again with that first verse, number 347. 347. And let us pray it together as we sing. Have thine own way. Thy will, while I am with. 326.
Completely with Jesus alone.
thank you, dear Lord.